All right, we're going to continue to study on prayer. This is the third installment. And I'm just curious that if you ever have been in a desperate situation before, I know I have, you know, several times where, you know, you don't know what to do. You don't have an answer. And you're just there and you're just in this situation and the weight of everything's just coming down on you. And, you know, we've tried everything and it's something that we can't fix, but it's one of those deals that only God can fix. Don't you hate those? Because then it's out of your control. And see, most of us are control freaks. You know, we like to control everything and you know, make sure everything goes the way that we want it. And, you know, what I've found that really helps is the fact if we develop a, what I call a successful pattern of prayer. It's a pattern of prayer, meaning it's going to be something that it's going to be, you know, something with consistency, because I found out in my life that hit or miss efforts usually result in hit or miss results. You know, if I just do it every now and then we wonder. And the bottom line is what our subject today is going to be is that prayer takes persistence. The reason why I feel that many of us don't pray is that we don't see immediate results. Or perhaps, you know, sometimes we don't know what to say. You know, prayer is just not about getting things, but prayer is about getting God. Now, that's my main thrust on this whole series. Because sometimes, I know when I started out as a baby Christian, I usually just asked God for stuff. I mean, that's just how I was. I didn't know any better. I was a baby. You know, and most babies don't really see the big picture. So I just ask God for this and ask God for that and ask God to do this and ask God to do that. And then when it didn't work out the way I wanted, I wonder if this prayer thing really works. But what I found out as I've gotten a little older in God and older in life is that prayer is about getting God. And if we get God, we got something, don't we? And if we use that as a springboard, and I know we need a measuring stick, we shouldn't have to, but and if we use that as a measuring stick, that our relationship with God is enhanced, then we're a more spiritual being because we've been in connection with our Heavenly Father, then it's really going to help us, I think, in when we ask for things and being able to handle some of the things that we have to do, which is called patience. The P word, right? Nobody likes patience. You know, when I lived in Denver, you know, you could get a little impatient on I-25 sometimes during rush hour. I get impatient, like I said, up here on the square sometimes. Two stoplights and I can't handle it. You know what I mean? You know, I want to go. Let's go. Come on. That's why I never go through the Highway 5. I cut over the other one where it's a flashing light. That way I don't have to, you know, I just stop and go. I just cut through that way. I mean, that's just how I, in my way, I beat the system. You know, but the bad news is when I do that, sometimes I'll pull up to a regular red light and stop, and then I'll start to go thinking I'm at the other stoplight. So I have to catch myself with that because I don't want to get a ticket. But our passage we're going to look at today is one that is kind of interesting. It's about a widow. And it talks about Jesus was, you know, in Luke was talking a lot about prayer on how he wants to teach his disciples. Remember they come up and said, Lord, teach us to pray. He didn't say teach us to preach or teach us to do anything else, but teach us to pray. So Luke 18 verses 1 to 7 says, now he was telling them a parable to show at all times they ought to pray and then not lose heart. Saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said to her, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today. Lord, we thank you for your anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage that the enemy tries to put upon us. Lord, I thank you for words that pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And Lord, for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. And again, Lord, I thank you for the gift. Lord, I just want you to use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, week one, we looked at prayer connects us with God. And that's the basic springboard for anything we do in prayer. It's a connection point that we get back with God. And then last week, we took a little farther. We tried to change the word God to Father and try to make it more personal. A lot of people maybe have not had a great relationship with their earthly father in some ways. So, you know, they say that can hinder us with our heavenly Father. So we looked at it, and our theme was last week is our God is our Father. And remember, Christianity is the only religion on the earth today that calls their God Dad. Amen? That we are the only one that gets to do that. I don't know what that means to you, but that means a lot to me. The fact that my God is not something up there just kind of pulling the strings, but I have a Heavenly Father, somebody I can go to be able to minister to me as I minister to Him. And today we're going to look at the next thing called prayer takes persistence. Now this is one that we probably are going to struggle with. Prayer is one of those subjects anyway that not a lot of people get to shouting about unless you get good at it. You know what I'm saying? Once you get good at it, prayer's where it's at. I'll just tell you, prayer's where it's at. I'd rather pray than go to a concert. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. I mean, I don't want to be entertained. I want to be connected. I want to, you know, be in there, you know, with God. And that's what prayer does. So today our 3 points is going to be consistent, persistent, and insistent. First point is consistent. Consistency is talking about developing a pattern of behavior. Now, what I've always felt, and I've shared this before, is there's a difference between a professional and an amateur. An amateur can bat 300 every now and then, but a professional bats 300 all the time. You know what I mean? Now, sometimes we get good at things for a little bit, but you know, I think that we need to get consistent in our relationship with God, in the time that we spend with Him, whether it be through the Word or through prayer or church attendance or going to fellowship with other people. And you know, one of the greatest dreams I would have if a few of you people would get together, you know, just some evening and go to each other's house and just maybe spend a few minutes praying. You don't have to pray for hours. Just go around the room, let each other pray and build relationship and build connection with each other. As you build connection with each other, it's going to build connection with God. You say, I can never do that. I did it. You can do it. I come from the cornfields out there in the middle of nowhere, kind of a shy farm boy. And then God got a hold of me. But I'll tell you what, I had to step out. I had to do some things I wasn't used to doing. And prayer is just talking. It's not something these and thous. It's not, oh, hallowed Father. You don't have to get all creative about it. All you got to do is just talk to God like you'd talk to your best friend. And just get to know Him. And let Him know your heart. He knows your heart anyway. And that's why Jesus says, at all times pray and not lose heart. You know, that's kind of a bummer when He said, don't lose heart. Because that told me that prayer is not a sprint, but it's a marathon. You know what I mean? You know, when He said, don't lose heart, that must mean that prayer must not be like going to McDonald's, where you can just stand up there and say, I would like this, I would like that, I'd like this. Oh yeah, hold the onions. You know? And like I've said before, that's a little trick. If you want something fresh, take something off the hamburger. You know what I mean? Then they got to make it special for you, and it's a good, fresh hamburger. It ain't been sitting there for a while. I learned that trick traveling with my family, because I would just order off the menu, and then they'd get a special order, and I'd be sitting there. I'd be watching it getting cold up there, and they'd be making theirs. And then after about 5 minutes, here it come out, and mine wasn't very good because it had been sitting there. So I got tricky like they did, and I started ordering something just special order. And really, so prayer, like I said, is not like the fast food, but, you know, we need to get to the place where we have a consistent place that we pray. And what I really believe in my heart and what I'd like to see you get to is to find a time and a place that you like to pray. You need to find a time and a place that's good for you. You know, everybody may not be the same. I have my place I like to go. As a matter of fact, I might go all retro here pretty soon. You know, when I first started praying, I had an old beanbag chair. And I'd love to just sit in that beanbag chair and just pray. And, you know, it was awesome. I haven't had one for a while. I've been thinking in my mind, you know, maybe I'll try to buy one of those or find one of those. You know, just to see, you know, I just enjoyed that feeling of being in the big bag chair. You know, so you got to find a place that feels comfortable for you. Maybe it's sitting in a recliner. Maybe it's down on your face or on your knees, however it is. I encourage you, don't start out praying on while you're laying on your back. You might fall asleep. You know what I'm saying? So try to maybe that is a last resort, you know, if you need to. But, you know, find a place that works for you, because really it's about you and your relationship with God. And that's very important. Now, consistency builds a strong bond and a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Just like, you know, with other friends. Just think about it. There's some people that as you spend more time with them, you get close to them. But if you don't see them for a while or haven't been with them for quite some time, you kind of lose that connection a little bit. Now, I'm not talking you're going to lose your relationship with God. That's not really that's not really in question here. But I'm talking about is enhancing your relationship with God. Getting to the place where you feel comfortable and that, you know, when you have a need, because what happens, you know, like I said, everybody's going to be under attack. Not one person here, I mean, unless your faith is super faith, and I've read a lot of Bibles that people that have a lot of super faith, the bigger the faith, the bigger the attack. You know what I'm saying? So we're all under attack. But we need to get to the place where we can, you know, not be wavered when these things come. And I think, you know, the old song, The Anchor Holds, and I really feel that's our faith and it's the idea that we pray. Now, what usually happens is the fact that we don't really pray quick enough. Now, there's two ways of praying, proactive prayer and reactive prayer. Now, most of us use reactive prayer, meaning we don't pray, and then when a problem happens, all of a sudden we pray. But I believe in proactive prayer. That you get a relationship with God going and you have a consistency and you start to pray every day. I'm not saying you got to pray for an hour. Don't, you know, just whatever works for you. And there's different things you can do, and I have some prayer aids that will help you. You know, if you just come see me, you know what I'm saying? I have I don't want to brag here, but I've been saved over 30 years. I've paid attention. I've learned a few things along the way. Things that might help you, and you don't have to wait as long as I did to get them. I'd give them to you for free. I'd love to help you in your walk with God. So there's a lot of different prayer aids and different things and that I could give to you to help you so you can get closer to God, because getting close to God is really the most important thing, because the closer we are to God, it's the safest place we can ever be. But what happens is that we don't practice proactive prayer. We do reactive prayer, so that we get into a situation, it gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, until finally, after we've tried everything else and we've called everybody that we know, well, I guess I could pray. I've done that. You know, oh yeah, I could pray. I could ask God. But see, the problem with that sometimes is that, have you ever given a problem to God, and as soon as you said amen, you took it back? Come on now. We all do that. See, we got to get to the place of trust, where we trust God that once we give it to Him, we don't take it back. Let's see what God can do now. I've done everything I can do, and I haven't fixed it. I've failed. So why on earth would I want to take it back? Now, the thing with prayer is, if we make it a priority in our daily life, is that, you know, it connects us in that deeper way with God. And what I found out is, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that we only make time for what we feel is important. Are you like me? I only make time for what I feel is important. You know, if something I don't feel is important, I don't make time for it. I do all these other things, and then I don't make time for it. So what we need to do to get to a place in our life is remember that prayer is a spiritual thing, because God is a spirit. And what I found out in my life is what I'm consistent at is usually what I become good at. You know, that professional baseball player, oh, he was just born that way. Granted, some people have some athletic talent, I ain't going to lie to you. I have a face for radio. I mean, that's my talent, I guess. And I got that from Jason one time. That was a good joke he told. He wasn't talking about me at the time, I don't think. But anyway, you know, them professional players, they go out and they bat and they bat and they bat and they bat and they shag fly balls and do all these things. And they just continually practice because they want to make it on a pro team. And see, it's like that with our relationship with God. Now, we're already in the family of God, but we got to look at it like, you know, I want to continually pray. I want to get closer to God because I want to get closer to my Heavenly Father. You know, I'll tell you what, there's direction that can only come from God. You can't get it on a roadmap. You can only get it from God. So that's consistent. Now, persistent is kind of a little more about the widow was talking about here. You know, persistent means to continue to do something despite challenges. Now, do you consider yourself a persistent person? Or do you give up easily? That's a fair question. You know, that's something that we need to resolve. Do we consider ourselves a persistent person? You know, life, I said, like, can be challenging. You know, sometimes you don't know if you're coming or going. An old saying I had when I was a kid is, I don't know if I'm on foot or horseback. You know, I'm going so fast I can't tell. You know, think life just gets that way. Because sometimes we don't say no. There is a no factor, right? We don't have to be involved in everything. We just need to be involved in the right things. And that's another sermon in itself. But the idea here is that as life can bring these challenging things, and as we don't know which way we're going, it's when we're in this constant state of chaos is when we need to pray the most, and that's really when we pray the least, because it's so hard to settle ourselves down. Now, you talk to anybody that has a good prayer life, a good consistent prayer life, and they will tell you probably one main thing other than connection with God is the fact that it just, for lack of a better term, it just centers you. It just brings peace to your life. And that's one of the greatest things that you can have, where you don't feel out of control. Because there's nothing worse than feeling out of control in life, where life is taking you where it wants, instead of us trying to follow God through the Spirit leading. See, we're a spirit being, and because God is a spirit, so that's how we get our spiritual information and trying to get that. So as we do that, we just follow God and let Him lead us. And sometimes He may just stand still. So as we trust God, we just need to keep on keeping on. Now, this widow, I want to just do a disclaimer. You know, one thing that used to bother me when I first started out as a Christian, I didn't have a lot of depth, you know, and I thought the Bible was trying to say that this judge was like God. And that's not the kind of God I serve, you know what I'm saying? You know, my God is not like this judge. And really, so this passage is not really talking about God and the judge being the same person. What it's talking about, the idea of the man, a judge who's kind of ungodly, and then at the end it talks about how much more will God do for His elect, meaning His chosen people. So when we're getting into this, we need to keep that important. So this lady, this widow, she kept going to the judge, even though he said no. I don't know about you, but do you take no for an answer in everything? Now, sometimes if they say no, yeah, if it ain't important. But if it's something that you really need or something that's very important, you know, sometimes you just can't take no for an answer. Sometimes you just got to press on through and just press on in. And that's what this widow did. See, this widow, if you look at it, you know, back then the temple did help widows. It's not like we have today where there's some, you know, federal assistance that comes where you get it and it's, you know, and they put it on a nice handy card for you or whatever the case may be. But, you know, they didn't have all these things set up back then. And the widow had to maybe go to the temple and they would help him. But what was happening evidently here was this widow was having trouble with somebody. And her husband was dead, so she was needy and she was helpless. And nobody could help her. The only person that could help her was the judge, and that was really his job. His job was set up in the Old Testament. The job of the judge was to hear the things of the people and to make a righteous judgment. Now, he didn't want to do that, but she wouldn't take no for an answer. She kept coming. Matter of fact, in the Scripture, it says, and I might say it in the King James, I never checked, but there is it's kind of a picture of somebody. He says, even though she blackened my eye, she just kept coming. She didn't want to give up. She was persistent. She needed that answer. She needed deliverance because these people were messing with her stuff, and they were going to take maybe everything that she had. But she knew she needed help, and she had to go to the only person she thought could help, and that was the judge. And we need to see ourselves in that way. We need to see ourselves that we're not some strong person without God, that we can do it on our own. But we need to see that we have needs. We're needy people. We need our God. We need our Heavenly Father to come into our life to help us, to be able to answer life's problems for us that we know that we can't handle. And we need to be humility. We need to have humility enough in our life to recognize the things that we need. What I found in my life, the widow was persistent, but if it's important, we must be persistent. And that's a truth. We need to ask, but keep on asking, because God expects us to keep praying until the answer comes. I have an illustration here I want to share with you. You've heard me talk about George Mueller. Many of you maybe have read some of his books. I don't know, but he was the man who had the orphanage, and he took in all these kids. I believe it was over in England. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure that's it. But, you know, they would just have food. They would sit down at the table to eat, and there was no food, and all of a sudden there'd be a knock at the door. Somebody would bring food to the kids. So he's a man of prayer. So what happened is that one day, George Mueller started to pray for five of his friends. After many months, one of them came to the Lord, and 10 years later, two others were converted. It took 25 years. Think about that. 25 years, and then the fourth man was saved after praying for him for 25. He must have been tough. You know, maybe you know somebody like that. Then, after 52 years of praying, he never gave up hoping, but then he died. George Mueller died. It says not long after his funeral, the fifth one got saved. You know, he was a persistent man in prayer. He wouldn't take no for an answer. If you love somebody enough, you'll pray for them. You'll pray for their soul. Whether it be your mom, your dad, your loved ones, whoever they are, a work person, we need to be persistent. It may take 52 years. Don't know. But we need to pray and be persistent, because prayer takes persistence. The last point is to be insistent. Now, this is kind of a tough word to work around. Insistent means not allowing refusal. Now, I don't want us to think that we can go up in God's face and be rude. That's not what I'm getting at here, because that's kind of what this word, if you take it too far, can kind of be. But, you know, it's about standing on a promise. It's not about being rude. And see, we have a lot of promises in the Bible. And if we have legal, see that widow, like I said, she was needy and helpless, but she must have had something, a case she could stand on, because she had legal right to go and talk to this judge, because evidently who was messing with her had no legal right to come. So that's the legal right, the legal thing that she had that she went to the judge with. So you and I, if we're standing on legal grounds in God's word, I believe that we can be, you know, insistent upon our own thing. So we need to be able to plead our case. You know, we need to see ourselves as that needy person, and our need, you know, is what we need is God's strength coming in. Now, we need to be confident. Confident in our asking. The widow was confident in the sense that she knew that the judge had the power to fix her problem. We need to be confident that our God has the power to fix our problem. We know that he does, but we need to act on that. We need to step out in faith, and we need to start, you know, building a case like a lawyer. You know, the widow had a case, so we need to state our case, you know. This is the hard part. This is where a lot of people stop right here. They won't do this next step, but what you got to do is find scriptures that deal with your problem. And this is where I can help. Or there's other people in the church here that can help you. There's a lot of aides out there that can, you know, you can find that if you're dealing with a certain thing in your life, you know, there's some scriptures that you can stand on, and you can be insistent, because God is not a liar. If God said it in his word, it's true, and God's going to follow through with his word. So we just need to pray. We need to pray the word. We need to stand in faith. You know, when we learn how to pray the word, we've learned how to pray with power. And this is a key that a lot of people never get to, I'll be honest. Because a lot of people just pray what comes to their mind, and in about 4 minutes, maybe five, you don't have nothing. You know what I'm saying? I got nothing. Now, you can pray in the Spirit and all that, and that's all dandy. I do that myself. But, you know, the idea of learning how to pray the Word, because when we pray the Word, we pray with power, and we have confidence based on the blood of Jesus. Now, I'm going to wrap up here, because I want us to do something here together. But if an unjust judge will give in to the relentless cries of a widow, how much more do you think our Heavenly Father will as he hears the cries of his children? Because prayer takes persistence. Let's pray.